This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bester with my colleague Jonathan Tsai of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, looking at the Islamic Republic of Iran through this headline in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours: How China secretly pays Iran for oil and avoids U.S. sanctions. Hidden arrangements secured by prominent Chinese insurer, goes the subhead, connects Tehran with its biggest customer. You will all recall there was a very large deal signed some time ago, more than 2 years, I don't remember the date, where China was going to take upwards of $25 billion of oil from Iran. Despite the sanctions, we believe that that has gone on for quite some time, oil to China, not only from the Russian shadow fleet, but from the Iranian traders. Now the Wall Street Journal is featuring a methodology they're using with a Chinese insurer, avoiding U.S. sanctions. Jonathan, to my understanding, Iran depends upon Russia and China, but this is about money that it needs to afford its threat network throughout the region. Does China have a long-term strategy, to your knowledge, with Iran? They seem to be galaxies apart. Nothing in common whatsoever except brutality. What is the thinking in Tehran about China supporting us?
You're right to correctly assess that when we talk about the relationship between Tehran, Beijing, and Moscow, all they have in common is not their shared values, but really shared threats. Ultimately, they want to go against what we've historically called the liberal or democratic world order. So really, that's ultimately what they have in common, which makes them really strategic partners more than allies in a sense of NATO or the European Union or our transatlantic relationship with our allies. In this, as we talk about specifically the Tehran Beijing relationship, there's no surprise there that, of course, with all these oil that was going to China, and as you accurately again mentioned, that yes, Iran heavily relies and depends on the PRC to purchase these oils, so they can actually, you know, keep the regime afloat. It's really an economic lifeline for the Islamic Republic. The question was always, what are they getting in return? Same thing with Iran and Russia. Iran was supplying all these weaponry for the fueling Russia's war against Ukraine and really the entire Europe at this point. The question was, what is Tehran getting back in return? And now we're increasingly realizing what that exchange looks like. So, of course, this expose today talks about, one, a money laundering network. Necessarily no surprises there that Tehran is at this point becoming an expert in evading U.S. sanctions, or at least trying. They have new methods to try to minimize the risk of getting caught violating U.S. sanctions, especially post-snapback. But again, what's really interesting is that in part also it seems like China is building Iranian infrastructure for them. So on two fronts, Islamic Republic is exporting its oil illegally, a national resource, and is only enriching the kleptocrats in charge because of the nature of the transaction. It doesn't really go to the Iranian economy, as we've seen with the inflation and the currency devaluation. That's one angle. On the other angle is that, in theory, the infrastructure projects should help the Iranian people as a whole, but we yet to really see the result of that. I don't know if necessarily also the nature of the dynamic is very transparent. And when we're talking about crumbling infrastructures inside Iran, the issue is not necessarily metros or subways. It's more so electric grids, power grids, inability to extract oil to turn that into fuel later. So it's really questionable whether this partnership is really aiding the Islamic Republic, or is it just an economic lifeline to keep them afloat?
Jonathan Tsai for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I note that in the news, Iran is the only capital in all the Ummah to condemn the deal pending between Israel and the Gazans.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.